It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Ruthie C. with the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Ruthie C. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, the Pensacola Expert Panel. And I am joined by Mr. Steve Gerlach of Emerald Coast Coins. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Martha. That's a very appropriate song you started out with. We just went through old Sally here. Well, my buddy I do all my business with, he lives in Lake Charles. Well, they went through Laura. Now they're getting ready to go through Delta Dawn, I guess, huh?
We'll play that song next.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That should have been, they're just now barely getting out of the woods from that, and they're planning for this round, but hopefully they'll come out a little better. You know, they're going to be probably more of an impact than I thought they were going to be, because it seems to be going a little further west now, you know, and...
Yeah, that's what I keep seeing, moving west.
It's not going to be near as bad as what they got hit with Laura. Laura was a Cat 4, if I'm not mistaken, almost a Cat 5, or should have been a Cat 5.
I remember just thinking, Lake Charles, oh no, I hope they're doing okay. I remember you mentioning that that you do business with is there in Lake Charles. So is he going to come visit you? Is he going to evacuate and come to the beach?
Unfortunately, it's too hard to get to the beach now.
Oh, well, that is a good point. We have some issues.
So, I mean, because one of his employees, she came over here and stayed a week at the beach here, and I was talking to her, you know, I said, well, you know, you can't get to the beach anymore. She said, yeah, I saw the news the bridge got taken out. I said, yeah, unless you want to, they got State Road 399 blocked off coming in from Navarre, you know, so... How do you get in and out of that place?
Right. I did take a little survey yesterday. The University of West Florida put out a survey asking if people would be interested in a ferry service. And the short answer is yes.
Oh, yeah. We had that ferry service that kicked off here a while back, and it didn't go over too big right away. And now they could be doing quite well.
I think they could. I know that was like a kind of a cool attraction.
Right.
Something. Now it's sort of like, well... I need to go to work get to my doctor's appointment or, you know, all the things, the reason we have a bridge in the first place.
I remember when I was stationed in Scotland, you know, and to get to the other side, you had to take a ferry all the time, you know. It was a very, very, very long drive around the lock we were around, you know, so I'm very familiar with taking ferry trips all the time.
Yeah.
It's funny over there, it's a lot different, you know. I mean, 5:30 in the morning, the ferry shoves off and the door slides open, bars open, 5:30 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, I guess you have to stay warm in Scotland, right?
It's damp and cool over there.
Uh-huh. So that's how you start.
Yep, it is.
Keep yourself warm.
That's a fact.
So you think we'll get something like that here?
I don't think so.
No, maybe not the bar part.
The bar part, not. Yeah, you know. God, because there's got to be something close by that could come over and help. I thought there was one over in Mobile, but I won't swear to it.
Oh, it could be. And well, I know even in New Orleans, they have the ferry that you can drive your car and cross to the West Bank. So maybe, do they have an extra boat?
Yeah, bring it on over. You know, the people in Pensacola gladly pay for the trip.
I think that is the thing. I know I would take my money.
The aggravation of sitting in the long lines, you know, and then like they had a wreck on the Garson Point Bridge the other day, which just backed everything up all the way here to Davis Highway.
Right. Yeah, the ripple effect is real with these traffic patterns.
It is. It is. It's unbelievable, you know, what something like that could happen, you know. And of course, we weren't prepared for this, and you know, everybody was going in Gulfport, and then the very last minute, you know, because it was only going, 2 miles an hour, if that at best, and next thing you know, it's coming straight into this area, and it was fun.
It was tough stuff. Well, and how did you, we haven't seen each other since,
Sally. I didn't have power up here for the last time I was supposed to have been here. And
that's right.
We got power at the house. It lost, it came on, then it went out again, you know, and then we finally got power back, and then internet cable went out, you know, so darn, you know,
of
so
course.
Where my store is over in Creighton Road, we never lost anything, not a thing.
Really? Creighton Road, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, that one particular area right there did not lose power at all, and twice we were going up there for something, and for power the first time, then the power came back on the house, and then it was on a Sunday, and the cable was out, and a lot of football games coming on Sunday.
Yes.
So We were packing up. We were actually going to spend the night there, you know. We had the dogs ready to go, and the Jeep loaded up, and lo and behold, cable came right back on. So,
oh, of course.
So had to unload everything, go inside, you know, because then just sit there and watch. We watch football at the house.
That's so funny. You can't write a sitcom better than that, can you? Like, as soon as you're ready.
I think it was just pure luck. But my son, his house, he lives over behind a Whataburger off of Davis, and it was a while before they got power back over there and TV too. So yeah, and there's some areas that took a little bit longer, and that's, you know, like I said, Lake Charles, my buddy, they got hammered really, really, really hard over there. And you know, the one plus to this is all of the trees have already been pretty much taken out over there, you know, so you're not going to have near as much stuff falling down as you did before. And you know, hopefully things go, you know, it's going to be windy and wet, but I don't think it's going to be near what they went through, you know, 6 weeks ago or whatever it was, 2 months ago.
Bright time in 2020 is moving so differently. It's going really fast, and yet somehow we're still in this decade that is 2020.
Yes, I know. And 2021 is going to be interesting in itself anyway.
Oh, that is very true. That is very true. And well, how are things looking at the shop for you?
I was going to say, you know, last time I was on a show, I was talking to y'all about, you know, gold was at an all-time high, and believe me, everybody took advantage of it. I mean, we were so busy. The month of September is the busiest month we've ever had. You know, like I said, we buy a lot of jewelry, and in 3 days, we bought 3 to 4 days, we bought almost $100,000 just in jewelry.
Wow.
That we had to sit on for 30 days, and that was tough.
is that a rule?
Yeah, because you know, we're not a pawn shop, but we have to follow the same guidelines. We have to get information from the people, fill it out, we input it into the computer, we submit pictures, and you know, this is for protection of the people themselves, actually, because what it is it goes in the database and it goes straight to the, you know, the police municipalities, and they can view the pictures, you know, because there's all kinds of stolen jewelry out there, and believe me, it works very well, because more than once I've had, you know, been contacted by the office, you know, sheriff's department or whatever, said, hey, you got this item, we need to put on hold to see what it is, you know. Mm. And it's, come on in, you know. And only twice now, I had one that they came in, this one particular person that had been stealing, and he came in and looked at our stuff, and he says, well, none of this stuff's reported stolen. So, you know, we left it in our safe, and it's been over a month since it's been 6 or 8 weeks since we talked to him, so they never put a hold on it, so we finally sent it off for scrap. But, you know, it does work, and people do get their stuff back. I had another gentleman come in a similar situation, and he got his piece back, and I got my money back, thank goodness.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to ask, what does that mean for you?
Well, and he had it worked out where, the, you know, the person that had done this dastardly deed, you know, paid me for the item, and he picked it up at the store. So once in a while, I come out okay. Every now and then, I don't. You know, I had one where someone brought in something that's up there we bought some stuff in, and next thing I know, the guy comes in and hands me his ID, FBI, you know. And I said, what the heck? You know, I said, what's the FBI? Well, this person sold you some jewelry. Yeah. Well, it was stolen out of, I want to say, Pennsylvania, Ohio, somewhere up there, and they were doing interstate travel selling it. So it's interstate, I can't think of what it is. Interstate theft is what it is. You know, they're crossing state lines and selling stolen property, which is, you know, so the FBI is involved in that.
Ooh.
And he just gave me a piece of paper and said, yep, I'm taking this back from you. I said, yeah.
Okay.
You got the badge.
Right. Well, I'm not going to tell you no. And wow, so that's kind of, how long ago was that happened?
Oh, that was this summer.
This
past summer, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That probably comes with some different level of trouble that you get in when you're crossing state lines.
Yeah. It's like I said, puts it on a federal level, not a state level, you know. So, and they tracked them all the way from, you know, up north down to this area, coming through the various states selling stuff as they came down. So I'm sure they got picked up and are in a safe place right now.
Safe place. I like that. Yeah, very safe, and safe for the rest of us too.
Yes.
And so, yeah, last time you were here, Steve, we were talking about gold, all-time high, and then you had a record-breaking month.
Yeah, God. We did $1 million last month, which is, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's you know, man, we were putting in a lot of overtime last month, and but, you know, we bought and sold and flipped a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I had one gentleman come in. It was, you know, he sold me, $100,000 worth of gold coins.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And it took me a few hours to get that money together. But, you know, I'm one of the few around that can flip that much that quick.
Yeah, right. So that's good. You, like you said, you're not here to sit on it.
No,
you
no,
like to
no.
keep it moving.
The coins I can do something with right away. Like I said, the jewelry, I have to sit on it. No matter how, I went to my bank and talked to my the guy that handles my line of credit. I said, man, I'm in desperate need of an increase in my line of credit. And he said, how much? I told him. And you know, he called me back, I got it approved, you know, and he gave me an extra $50,000. And I took $60,000 out immediately and put it into my checking account to cover the stuff I was buying. I put $30,000 of my own savings account in there. But, you know, that was back in August, well, September. No, no, see, this is October. Yeah, so that was the beginning of late August, early September. But everything since then has pretty much come out and been sold off and paid off a line of credit, paid myself back, and we actually have a little money in the bank now.
Hey,
so I'm
that's
doing
great
okay.
News. I'm glad. I'm so glad to hear that. That's
so
wonderful.
It's what, you know, it just, you know, it's, you got to be very creative in this and, you know, be you know what you're doing just to cover all the pitfalls. And, you know, the market, the gold goes up and down, you know, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Yeah. How's it looking now?
Yeah, God, I even looked at it. It's still around 1900 right now, the upper 1880s, 1890s when I looked before I. That was early this morning, though. Let's see here. Gold Live. Let's see what it tells me. I didn't even. I don't look at that. It's 1890 right now. Silver's at $2,400, basically. So, you know, we're still at an all time high on gold. And, silver's got a ways to go. Silver got up to $49 back in 2010, and we're not anywhere near that.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be very high.
So what would that mean for you, you know, if the silver went up suddenly like that? Is that people coming in and selling their jewelry to you?
I buy coins and silver bars and silver rounds, you know, because silver is bought as a commodity.
Right.
So, you know, that's a lot of people are investing in that right now because they're afraid of what's going to happen to the U.S. dollar. And that's what made gold spike so much, is the dollar loses strength, which causes the metals to boost. And, you know, people buy the precious metals as a hedge against inflation or the dollar going under, you know, and it's just a security blanket is what it is. So I'm more than happy to oblige them.
Right. Is that always an inverse relationship where, like, if the dollar goes down, gold goes up?
Usually,
and the other way around?
Pretty much so, yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of other factors in there, too. You know, I'm not an investment person. A lot of people want to talk to me about investments. I said, that's not my job. If you want to talk investments, go see an investment person.
Yeah.
I just move the metals back and forth. And I sell at a very reasonable rate. You know, I don't make a lot of money off of this, but I do a volume, you know, and the volume is where all the money's at. You know, I'm not running a museum where I work, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's not here to be looked at.
Nope, it's not. It's there to be sold. And I'm sitting pretty heavy in silver and gold right now. You know, we've been picking it up for a while, and it's been down a little bit, but the storm created this new surge of selling right now. A lot of people, you know, repairs. I had this one lady come in, and she had a tree and needed it down. One guy told her $3,000, and she said, it was a pine tree. He said, no. Mm. So this other guy come by, he stopped and looked at it and said, I'll do it for $1,000. And it was a pretty big pine tree, from what I understand. He says he looked at it, kind of looked and gazed and pointed out with his hand. Says he went and cut a notch in it, and the tree fell right where it was supposed to go.
Oh, good.
he eyeballed it out perfectly, so
wow.
He's been doing it a while, you know.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And there's, I know a few people like that. I was talking to someone the other day. I have a gentleman came to my house. I got rid of my pine trees a long time ago because they're not good for anything except make houses.
Right, true.
But mine was between my house and my neighbor's house. Yeah, it was about a 60-footer. And he's taking the limbs off it, and my neighbor come out watching him. He says, this is pretty close to our houses. I know. So he started, my buddy was up there, and he started taking the limbs off. Then he started parting the tree out and dropping it down. And the guy says, this guy's good. I'm going back in my house.
I trust the process
here. Yeah. He did a very good job of it, too. He took three out for me.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
So, you know, and that was years ago before Ivan ever hit, I think.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's been a while. Have you had anything come back? Or you said no more pine trees?
No more pine trees. I mean, you know, I got two massive oak trees in my backyard, and they survived every storm since I've been here, and I'm sure that, you know, they've been there a lot longer than my subdivision's ever been there. So it's a nice tree. And my tree guy comes and trims it regularly, says that's one of the most gorgeous oak trees he's ever seen.
Oh wow that's great. So you're just stewarding them while they're here.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And it keeps my yard and my house shaded in the summertime, you know, so
yeah, that's
it.
Nice.
Keeps the sun off it too, you know, because we're a little bit too, you know, the sun's always behind our house during the daytime, and that's where all the heat comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps out a lot.
That does help. And so they were fine through this storm.
Oh, yeah. They shed a lot of limbs, a lot of little, you know, God, I got a lot of debris in front of the house. But, you know, after Ivan, when the storm was over, my backyard was waist deep in debris.
Mm.
This time it wasn't quite so bad, but there was no leaves left on the tree after Ivan. Within 2 weeks, the oak tree had started sprouting new growth. You know, it's funny how Mother Nature works like that, because it just immediately went through its fall cycle. Usually in the fall, I mean, in the first part of, you know, early January, February is when the oak trees shed their leaves. And
right.
It just went through a recycle in September instead of February, and it just sprouted out and greened up right away.
Life goes on.
Yes, it does. It's it's amazing how that works.
It is. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Steve Gerlach of Emerald Coast Coins, and we're talking about a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we don't know. You know, I talk about a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I love it. And letting people know what, you know, what your team does here, and you guys have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, so we've been in business 18 years now.
18 years. So you have seen some fluctuations.
Oh, yeah, when we first opened the store, and we were over there off of 9th Avenue, and gold was $275 an ounce, you know, and why anybody in their right mind would want to spend that kind of money on an ounce of gold, I don't know. Couldn't figure it out.
But were they doing it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they were. I don't know why. They were crazy.
Right.
Now I'm sitting there thinking, man, I should have been setting some of that stuff aside for me, too.
I guess, and is this one of those situations like inflation where it only goes up, or are there some significant dips? Like, you really
Yeah, you know, I mean, God, a year ago, gold was only, I'm going to say 1,100, somewhere in that range, you know? So it's up significantly from a year ago, and it's going to go up and down again. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I tell a lot of people, when you buy it, you know, if it starts to recede, they get scared and want to sell it off. You know, it's a long-term investment. Don't buy it today and expect to make money in a week. You know, give it a few years to mature and see what happens. Because if you're trying to flip it too quick, it's not going to work. I deal with this every day. You know, I do a lot of what I call cost averaging based on what I buy it for and what I sell it for. Sometimes, you know, I get it on the downswing and then it goes up. And sometimes I get it when it's high and it goes down. So that's where the cost averaging comes in effect and keeps me, I don't want to say in check, but keeps things on an even keel, basically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's no set way to predict it.
Sure. Yeah. So that was my next question was, is this, I know the stock market is not the economy and vice versa.
Yeah.
Do you see any correlation between what goes on with gold and anything else which is going on in the world?
Certain world issues would probably affect it some form or fashion. You know, it's just like oil, you know, I mean, things going in the Middle East, boy, the gas goes up real quick.
Yeah.
You know, and where we get the gold from, it depends. But I mean, I haven't seen too many world issues affect gold that rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's just what is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I like that the long-term investment part of it is that this is not your get-rich-quick scheme.
No, and I have people come in every week, and, you know, we sell the Silver Eagles, and they're $27, $29 a piece, anywhere in that range, and they'll buy one or two every week, you know, and they just, you know, whatever it is, they come in and buy some, and they just keep putting it away and putting it away and putting it away, and you know, that's a smart way. You don't have to do it all at once. I have people come in, we have what we call 90% silver, dimes, quarters, and halves, you know, they call it constitutional silver. They'll buy that, too. So, you know, it's just your own fancy.
Do you have any recommendations? And I know, like you said, you're not a financial advisor here, but when people buy that and then how do they store it? Do they store it at home in a safe? Is that something that
usually,
how does that work?
If you're getting a good quantity, I would recommend getting a very, very heavy, good safe, you know, because, you know, a lot of people say I put it in a safety deposit vault. Well, you know, during one of the last financial crises, I think the banks were shut down for a while. And it's very possible that if a bank gets shut down or goes out of business, it could be up to 6 months before you can get in and get to your safety deposit vault.
Mm.
Yeah. Your stuff's still in there, but you just can't get to
it. But you can't get it, which I know probably makes some people a little antsy. I know it
went
for me.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So, you know, have a plan already when you start buying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I tell everybody, you know, get a very decent safe. You know, I got the last one, I had the two that I got in my store, One of them's an old safe from the Navy base. I mean, this thing must weigh 6,000 pounds.
Wow. Oh, it's from the Navy base.
And it's an old, it's an old Navy safe, you know, that was sold at a, you know, warehouse sale because they didn't need it anymore. And I picked it up from somebody else. And, I mean, the guy moved in said, that's a heavy safe.
Wow. So it's staying put now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have it's on 4x4 blocks underneath it so that if I ever have to move it again, they have to bring it on a forklift.
Holy cow.
Well, you know, or, you know, pallet jack, one or the other.
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah, I need a little guy.
Because it's just that heavy. And then I had one when University Mall was closing. One of the jewelry stores up there had a very heavy safe that I bought from them. It's, you know, and again, it's not something you're just going to walk out with.
So it makes me think about how even, like, cigars, you have a humidor and you store them properly. Mm-hmm. Is that the same with these precious metals? Like, these safes are designed for that?
Yeah, you know, mine, well, you want it, moisture is detrimental to everything, you know, so I have the air conditioner on all the time, and when we're there, the safes are open all day long, so keep them cool and dry in there. And you can buy bags of, it's called desiccant, which is a moisture absorbing material that you can put in. It's like that damper thing you see on TV to put in your closet, you know, and
draw. Oh, yeah.
Similar to that, you can put that in the safes to help keep the moisture away from whatever you got in there, so that helps a lot too.
Very cool. That's good to know. I'm thinking about, like, you know, when a lady buys a purse and it's got that little silica gel stuff in the bottom of it. So
that's exactly what silica. That's exactly what it is. Desiccant.
Okay. And so that, but you said yours are open throughout the day. So whatever you're doing to regulate your climate inside.
Oh, yeah. Well, just regular AC. It's AC and ceiling fans.
Good to know. I don't think I'm in the market anytime soon for one of those with that same heavy-duty safe, but who knows? Someone listening might be.
Yeah, you know, God, you know, there used to be a place over here on 9th Avenue that had some safes, but he's not there anymore. I know Dick's Sporting Goods and Mike's Gun Shop over there on 29 have some really, really nice safes in there.
Okay, so if you are in the market, that might be a good place to
start. Those are a couple
of
good places to get it. You know, like I said, Mike's on 29 has some really nice safes in there. And that's, you know, a lot of them are gun safes, but, you know, they got temperature ratings, you know, for up to, you know, X amount of degrees for X amount of time, you know, 1,800 degrees for an hour, you know, before anything gets damaged, which is the higher the temperature rating, the longer it takes before it damages it, is you're better off because it protects the merchandise inside. So that's something to consider when you get a safe, too. A lot of factors in that.
Yeah, there are. We could probably do a whole show on
that. You probably could.
And so what's coming up for you next?
Let's see. What's going on here? This is October. God. The next coin show I know we're going to be doing is going to be in Texas in January. It's going to be in Converse, Texas. Houston Money Show, it's called, which is a very good show. That's the next one we're going to be at. The next show in this area is going to be in January, and it's going to be the 7th, 8th, 9th of January in Orlando. It's called the Fun Show, the Florida United Numismatists Show. That's that one. We'll be in Texas on the 14th and 15th of January for that show, which is a very good show. And it's about a 7-hour drive over to Houston area, and it's a very good show. Yeah, I was telling someone yesterday, we were driving, we were going, last year we went, and you get off over by Beaumont and go up a couple of these back roads towards Conroe, and, you know, like two-lane roads, you know, that you see, kind of like going through out in Pace, I can't think of the road right now, Woodbine Road or somewhere now, except, you know, you're out in the sticks, speed limits of 65 to 75 on the back roads out there in Texas.
Yeah,
I love it.
That sounds fun. That's right. Don't mess with Texas. You're out here driving. That sounds great. So when you go, you'll go set up and have a booth and participate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be half of what they had last year because of the COVID thing. Everybody's doing, they're not going to be more restricted to your tables and things like this, but they're still going to have people coming in. And, you know, Houston's fourth largest city in the country, and they got a lot of people that come up there, so it's a good show.
That's great. Well, I hope that goes well. And what do you do to prep in the meantime?
Just start getting material ready.
Mm-hmm. Just ready. Yep. Prepping and get ready for it.
I mean, real quick, everybody, we're at 1811 Creighton Road, which is, you know, right there by Lanier and Creighton, cross street from Tom Thumb. You can reach us at 850-473-1515. Or even find us on our website, emeraldcoastcoins.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for joining me this morning.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. You know, like I said, it's been a while because of everything going on. And then, like I said, the last show I had, you guys didn't pay your power bill that week.
Well, that's right. That's right. That was on us. Our bad. Sally should pay for us.
Yeah, Sally took care of it.
She did. She came to collect.